This podcast is brought to you by Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
You can visit us at www.lwkyabram.com.
So titled at the beginning and the end. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that it's food for our souls and our spirit, Father. As we read and we study your word, Lord, it leads us and guides us in the way that you would have us to go. Give us an obedient heart, Father, not just to read your word, but to understand it and to apply it to our lives so that we, Lord, will be living a life for you that would bring glory and bring honour to your name. So beginning to end, we're going to start at Genesis 1:1. It's a good place to start is the beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God started off with a void, just spoke things into being, and he created. God is a creator God. As we go through that whole opening days there of God's creation, at the end of the days, he would look at it and say, it's good. On the sixth day, God made man. Down to verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then down in verse 31, he says, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And the evening and the morning of the sixth day. So when God had created man, woman, and all of the provision, everything they needed, and he looked at it and he said, it is very good. So on the seventh day, God rested. Chapter 2, verse 15, then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree in the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God had provided everything in that garden for life, everything they needed, but there was just one command that they weren't to touch that tree. But Adam and Eve didn't keep the command and were deceived by Satan, who distorted the truth of God's command. And this is how Satan works, because he is a liar and a deceiver. In fact, we're told in John 8:44 that he is the father of lies. The first mistake that Eve made was to enter into a debate with Satan. If we go over to Genesis 3, verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then their eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves coverings. The woman said to the serpent, that should have been the end of her conversation. Her very first comment was the best one. God said, she should have left it there. But she kept on with the debate, she kept on with the discussion with him, and Satan was able to manipulate the discussion and put doubt into her mind. Is God's word really true? And seeing that the fruit was good for the eye and good for knowledge and understanding, but once that seed of doubt had got in there, then these other things started then to become weaker in her mind as well. And she took some of the fruit and ate it, and then she gave some to Adam and he ate. This was when sin entered into the heart of man. It's when Adam ate that, sin entered in. Up till that point, there was no sin. Adam and Eve were created by God for eternity. They were eternal beings. And as Satan deceived them with that word, you won't surely die. They didn't die instantly, but they did die. And they weren't meant to. They were created for eternity and to live in his garden. So this was what Satan did. He turned that into a half-truth and deceived them. And when Adam ate of that apple or whatever it was, fruit, sin entered. When their eyes were opened, they had a sudden realization. Things weren't what they seemed. That wasn't what they thought it was going to be. They saw that they were naked. They felt shameful. They had fear. And instead of walking with God in the cool of the evening, they tried to hide from him. So straight away, they would have realized the mistake that they had made. The good things that they thought was going to come didn't come at all. It was the opposite. And they felt separate from God and even tried to hide from him. But, you know, we mustn't be too hard on Adam and Eve when comparing, because if we turn over to Matthew chapter 4, we've got the word of God to teach us how to deal with Satan if he starts to try to tempt us with things. We have this time when Jesus was tempted by Satan. Three times he tried to tempt him, and three times Jesus said, "It is written." That was all that needed to be said. It is written. And that's our defense. When Satan comes to tempt us, to attack us, we stand on the word and say, "It is written." You don't want to enter into a discussion. We don't have to try and convince him about God's word. It is written. That's our foundation. That's where we stand, and we won't be moved from it, because God's word is true. And if we turn over to, if you went to James 4:7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you, and submit to God." That's our defense. It's simple, but it's profound and powerful. Resist him and he will flee, and submit wholeheartedly to God. That's our defense. Because we are created in God's likeness and image, we are not able to live a fulfilled, productive, happy life because that spiritual relationship was broken when Adam ate. This means that at the very heart, the center of a man's being is empty and lost. We try to fill this void with many things, but they never fully satisfy. Self looks for more. Proverbs 27:20 says, "Hell and destruction are never satisfied, and so are the eyes of a man are never fully satisfied." We always long for more. No matter how much water runs into the ocean, it's never full. When we're living in the flesh, no matter how much stuff we get, it's never enough, because what we're trying to fill is what only God can fill. Now, it's been interesting in our readings this year. We've been going through the Old Testament, and it's amazing when you just read it and study it, that how far the depravity of mankind can go when we're separate from God. It's just amazing. You know, you think, how could anyone do that to someone else? You know, how could you take a body and hack it up and just give you the heebie-jeebies? But that's the depravity of a man's heart when it's separate from God, and we're trying to fill it with worldly things. And so we don't have that guidance. We don't have that firm foundation. People rejected God's plan for their lives, and they were led by their own desires and plans, which always leads to much trouble. As we read through all those things, you know, they got themselves into a lot of strife, and God would get them out of it. God raised up leaders for them. They would lead them for a time, but then when that leader died, they would fall away. In the very last verse, we read this the other day in the book of Judges, it sums it up pretty well. It said, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Nothing much has changed today, has it? Everyone wants to do what's right in their own eyes. Everybody has their own opinion, and yet the trouble is we all have a different opinion. Which one's right? That's why we need a firm foundation on which to build, because that foundation is sound and strong. Most people are trying to fill their lives by following their own ways, doing things in their own strength, rejecting God's plan for their lives, and following after other religions, ideologies, trying to fill the void of the heart that only the true and living God can fill. This is because of the sin nature that came into the heart and is ruling and reigning. It's amazing. You never have to teach a child how to sin. You always got to try and teach them how to do what's right. I never told my boys how to leave the tools laying on the lawn so that when I went to cut the lawns, I would find the hammer and the screwdriver. I always told them to put them back in the shed when they were finished, but I would find them with the lawnmower because they'd fixed their bike. Suddenly the bike's good, they're gone, but the tools are still laying in the grass. But you never have to teach them how to do wrong. We've always got to teach them how to do right. And that's because when mankind is born, we're born with that sin nature, that separation from God, that personal relationship with God was severed. And so we're controlled and ruled by that sin nature. By God's grace and mercy, he provided a way that people could be atoned for their sins. In Leviticus 16, it said that the blood of animals was used to atone for people. First the priest and then the people. An innocent animal had to shed its blood for the atonement of the sin of mankind. But it could only cover them, couldn't set them free from it. Now we turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 15. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is at the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption and the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. As I was praying and meditating on this, it came to me that, you know, do we really fully understand the destructiveness and consequences of sin? The word says that the wages of sin is death. And unless people know what sin is and how it separates, they will never be able to understand why they need to be saved. Because I can remember what years ago when I was just a churchgoer, one of my friends said to me one day, the question, where did you come from? Why are you here? And where are you going? And it really impacted me because it made me go and think more deep about life. Where exactly did I come from? Why am I here? Am I just to take up space? And where am I going? And that was a challenge because the fear of death always impacted me. I used to hate going to funerals because that truth of that really would make me sit there and think, you know, it's before I got born again, I had a sister-in-law who died of cancer, and she was a beautiful Christian lady, and her and my brother, I know, had spent many hours praying for me because they thought I was a ratbag. And I went to the funeral, and that night I was laying in bed just looking at the ceiling thinking, why did Julie die? Why have I never had a day's sickness in my life? And I laid there all night staring at the ceiling, trying to answer that question. And you know, I couldn't, because I didn't know the way of salvation. All I knew was to be a good person, you might make it home if you're good enough. And I knew that I wasn't good enough. So that's why that fear was impacting my heart, because I knew if I'm relying on my good works, I had some good works, but some weren't either. And it wasn't until I got born again that the truth of all that came to make sense. Now I know where I come from. Now I know why I'm here. And I certainly know where I'm going because of Jesus. You know, God is serious about sin. And so we should be too. Because without the shedding of innocent blood for the forgiveness of sin, there can be no reconciliation back to God. We are not able to enter into eternity in heaven. Only those who have come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ and repented of their sins and been washed clean by Jesus' own perfect blood. He was our perfect sacrifice. For what the blood of animals couldn't achieve, the blood of Jesus can. This reveals two things. It reveals the total destructiveness and consequence of unrepentant sin, a life of eternal damnation in the fire of hell. And two, it also reveals the amazing love of God. We heard this tonight from Jenny. You know, God loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son into the world, that by his own blood he would redeem man back to God. It says this good in Romans chapter 5, Romans 5, 12, 18 to 21. Therefore, as through one man's offence, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign to righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Condemnation and death came through the act of sin, but justification and forgiveness came through the free gift of the cross. Praise the Lord for the cross. If we just slip over a page to chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, Romans chapter 8, 1 to 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Praise be to God, who by his own hand has set us free to live for him in the blessed assurance that eternal life in heaven is now our future dwelling. Now we can live our lives with a different understanding of life. God's unconditional love for us saved us and gives us a purpose for life, shows us a new way to live. Now we can love as he loves. Now we can see people in a new way because we can see them as he sees them. When Jesus puts that love in your heart, suddenly you can have love for people that you didn't think you could love before. It's that unconditional love. Only God can do that. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. This is knowing God through love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Propitiation means atoning sacrifice. So you don't have to look it up on Google. So I'm told that that's what you do when I use these big words. It means atoning sacrifice. That's good because I didn't understand it myself. Not only does God save us, but he is calling us to walk in the ways of his Spirit, to use the gifts and the talents that we all have. We all have different gifts, but they are all of the same Spirit. We have different ministries, but they're all from the same Lord. We all have different activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. That's why we need to meet together as a body. We need each other. Every one of you has got a special gift and a plan for your life that no one else has got. And you've got a part to play in the life and the body of this church, of the community, of your family, wherever God has placed you, you have got a part to play. And your part is just as important as anybody else's. Don't think that you're just a lower job or a lower part or a lower piece in the puzzle. Every part in the body of Christ is just as important as the other. This is why we need to seek God, who will reveal to us his perfect purpose and plan for our lives. In Colossians 3, 1 to 17. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, as we learn to put off the old things and put on the new, may we help and encourage each other to fulfill the calling on our lives. It's a new way. The last time I spoke, I talked about this new way of walking, this new way of living. It's not something that happens overnight, but when we get born again and we repent, we do that 180-degree turn. We put off those old things of the flesh, those old things of the past, and we put on the new things that come to us through the Spirit of the living God, through reading his word and being obedient. Not just reading it, but it's reading it and applying it to our lives so that we will be a reflector of Christ to those around us, fulfilling the calling that's on our lives. Each one of us has got a calling. Seek the Lord and find out what that calling is, and then we can encourage one another to fulfill that. If their calling is different to someone else's, it doesn't mean it's not as good or it's not as powerful. We just need to encourage people to find their calling, find their place, and encourage them in it. Then they will be fulfilled because they'll be doing what God has called them to do. So at the end of our lives, we will be welcomed into our new eternal dwelling with Jesus. We go right to the back now, the beginning and the end. Revelation 21, all things made new. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write these words, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What a glorious day that will be. That beautiful old song. I've learnt how to get some songs up on my phone at last, and I'm fiddling around and I just punched in, what a day that will be. I wonder what that'll bring up. And I just pressed it and it came up, what a day that will be. And I was pumped. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me to that promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. How much better in my heart now that I know the truth than what it was before I got born again. Fearful, scared even of not knowing where we go, to now looking forward to that day when my Jesus I shall see. We've gone on a journey tonight from the beginning when God made everything beautiful. He was very pleased through the space of life where we come to the end, and he's going to restore all things new. I want to be in that new heavenly place. And I can do that only because of Jesus, only because of him. And so that's the word I want to bring out tonight. You too can have that blessed assurance of having that eternal dwelling with Christ for all eternity. It's through having a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Only the precious blood of Jesus can redeem what was lost through Adam and Eve. Jesus can redeem, heal and replace. But it's a free gift. But we also have a choice. God doesn't force it. We have to receive it. He's offering the free gift. We have to receive it. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, for your promise of an eternal dwelling with you in your new heavenly home. You have promised to, you have gone to prepare a place for me. And I thank you and I praise you that we can have confidence in your faithfulness because you do not lie. So, Father, tonight we want to thank you and praise you that you give us opportunity to come into your very presence. And I just put out the invitation here tonight. If there's anyone here who's never ever invited Jesus to come into their heart, may I just offer the invitation tonight. Just put your hand up and we will pray with you. If there's anyone who's never made that decision to make Jesus Lord of their lives. Yes, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for that blessed assurance. And Lord, as we take hold of the life that you've given to us, that new life, we put off the old way and we put on the new life found in Christ. We thank you that you are the one who fills that void in our hearts, no longer searching for the things to try and fill us that always leave us empty and dry. You fill us with things that fulfill, satisfy. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that as we go in the name of Jesus. We want to bring glory and honor to you. So, Lord, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory that you are so worthy of. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast from Living Waters Church, Kyabram.
Don't forget, you can find us at www.lwkyabram.com.